Blog Talk Radio.
About the modern technology that has opened this door of ministry, that we can come to you and share the word of the Lord. Amen. We're just so excited. We love you so much. We love you with the love of the Lord, and we thank God for you taking time out of your busy schedule, taking time just to be with us and just to come and allow us to come and think enough of us to want to hear what thus saith the Lord from us. Amen. We're just so grateful and thankful, amen, for all of your support, all of those who support us, even on our weekly conference call line. We want to thank you so much just for we've been on the conference line for a year. It's exactly a year that we have been dealing with Unveiling the Kingdom. And it, as we go from week to week, God has so much more that he wants to unveil to us, that he wants to show to us. So we're just quite excited about being in the right place at the right time and doing what the Lord would have us to do. Amen. And at this time, we would like to open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercies. Lord, we thank you just for watching over us all day to day. We thank you for all your many blessings. And even in this season, O God, of Thanksgiving, we thank you, God. We are so blessed. We are so abundantly blessed. And so many times we complain, Lord, but, you know, we are so blessed. We are so grateful. You have been so good to us. Even on this year, you have been such a blessing. You have moved by your mighty hand. You have led us and directed us, oh God. You have ordered our footsteps even into a new region. And, God, we are grateful. We are thankful for the doors that you are opening. For all of the needs are being met. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. God, there's no one like you in all the earth. We thank you, favor. We thank you for the favor that's on every person that's listening on today. Lord, we ask that you would meet every need of your people. God, you know what they stand in need of. God, you know, and you are the source. You are our source, oh God. And we come to you, oh God. No other help. We know that you are a mighty God. You're an awesome God. And all power is in your hands, and we just give you praise, honor, and glory because we know that there's nothing, there is nothing that is too hard for you, oh God. You can do anything but fail, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask that you would meet that need, oh God, even that unspoken request that some of the callers have, oh God, that they haven't shared with anyone, oh God. They're innermost secret things, their desires, oh God. Lord, we ask that you are blessed in this season. Blessed now, oh God. Let none be lacking, oh God. We decree healing. We decree deliverance. We decree finances, oh God. We decree every need is met in our family and our loved ones, in the lives of our loved ones, oh God. Every home, every family that's represented on this line, every ministry that's represented on this line, we speak and we decree victory. We decree victory, victory. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, oh God. But your word will accomplish everything that you send it out to do because we are a victorious people. Oh, my God, and we thank you and we praise and we glorify you on today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, people of God. I just feel like praising God just for a few moments because he is so good. I was looking around and thinking about the goodness of the Lord of today, and I got so happy. I got so excited because I know that my God is awesome, and daily he loads us down with benefits. Daily he lets us know that we are his chosen, we are his kings, we are his queens, and we are tapping into our authority, we are tapping into our power, and he is just doing a new thing for those that know who they are, know who they belong to, know that they have been called with a higher call, know that they have been chosen with a higher purpose, God, and we thank you and we praise you, oh God. We just honor you right now. We just honor you, oh God, because there's no one like you, and we love you with all our heart. We love you with all our soul. We love you with all our strength. We love you with all our might. And we just give you honor, oh God. Honor and blessings and power and glory belong to him that sits on the throne. God, we give you glory. We give you glory, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We're connecting on another level. We're connecting with our Father on another level, and we're just so excited. Oh, people of God, I want you to get excited about who you are. You are God's chosen. You are God's chosen vessel. You are a king in the earth. You are God's chosen king in the earth. Oh, and God has greatness in store for you. I tell you, there's greatness on the inside of you. You have been anointed and appointed unto a kingdom. He has appointed unto you a kingdom, and it's time to take back everything the enemy has tried to take, everything he's tried to steal, everything he's tried to do in the earth realm. The people of God are taking control of every situation, every circumstance. We're placing the enemy under our feet, and I'm just so excited about what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God, like I was saying, we have been conducting this conference call, and we've only been on Blog Talk since, I believe, about April. Amen. But we're just excited about what God is doing, even opening the door for Blog Talk. At this time, I'd like to give thanks to Kingdom Builders International for this open door of ministry, Blog Talk, Kingdom Builders International, and Prophetess Teresa Phillips Scott, amen, for just blessing us to come on and opening the door for us to have this avenue of ministry. We thank God for her church also in Michigan. We want you to keep them up in prayer that they will do all that God has called them to do. We're just excited about with her and her husband, Elder Doss, what they are embarking on. We are so happy for them, and we thank God for their ministry. Amen. And we have been on Blog Talk since April. We've been on the conference call Unveiling the Kingdom since November. Amen. And there is so much more that the Lord wants to say. Let's go quickly into the Word of God, because we want to bring the man of God and give him ample time to share the Word of the Lord with us. Let's go to Psalms, the 22nd chapter. Psalms, the 22nd chapter, verse 27 through 31. And I'm going to come to you from the King James Version. I ask that you would get paper and pen ready to take notes. Amen. Psalms 22, and that's verse 27 through 31. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be upon the earth, that be fat upon the earth, shall eat and worship. And all they that go down in the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he have done this. Amen. And I also want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Oh, one moment. I'm having a little technical difficulties here. Yes, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 14 through 17 and then 24 through 30. Matthew, it's all in the same chapter, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Amen. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Amen. Starting at the 24th verse, Matthew 13 and 24. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, dost thou sow good seed? seed in thy field, from whence then hath it pared? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. We ask that the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his word. And at this time, we're going to have Apostle Ron Anderson. Are you online, man of God?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Praise the Lord.
Wonderful.
It's in your hands now. God bless.
God bless you, Apostle Gwen. And actually, it's in the hands of the Lord. But I thank and praise God just for this opportunity to be able to share. As Apostle Gwen already stated, the Lord has really opened up some opportunities for us to minister the word of the kingdom. And that is our mandate. That is our reason for being, to declare and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom as it should be for every believer, because that's what Christ told us to do. And, you know, I'm just excited about how God is moving even now, because we are actually in our anniversary year, I can say, of dealing with this, the unveiling of the kingdom and sharing this ministry and this message, excuse me, about unveiling the kingdom. We started on November of 2014, and here we are right at the year's end of doing that particular work, and we have no plan to stop. As a matter of fact, as we begin to deal more and more with the kingdom of God, the more God reveals and unveils the depths of his kingdom, and it is really, really more than just a notion, people of God. There's so much to the kingdom of God, you cannot really contain it. It was Jesus' message and his entire life during the 3.5 years that he began his ministry. And John said of him, if you were to record all the deeds that he did and all the words that he spoke in his the functionality of his life during that 3.5 year period, he said, I suppose the entire world would not be able to contain the books of everything that he actually did. But yet the only information we have is in those four gospels. And much of that is somewhat of the same thing. So that's what the Lord gave us to work with out of everything that he did. And in 3.5 years, he did such a great, powerful work. That's why I'm saying there's so much more to the kingdom of God, that the closer you get to God, the more of himself he reveals to you. One of the problems is people just aren't getting close enough to God to get as much from him that he chooses to give them, or that he's willing to share with them. They're just not getting it. And we're here just to encourage you that the kingdom of God is here right now, and it is open, and it is revealing itself to those that choose to see or that are willing to take part of it. Jesus told us, it is the Father's good pleasure. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom of God. And that's it in a nutshell. It is his good pleasure to give it to us. And we have that mandate to share with you, because he's trying to get it to us, every believer. And now we realize and understand that in this day and time, people aren't focused on the kingdom. That's why we're so thankful that God has given us this opportunity with Blog Talk and also the and thank and praise God for Apostle Phyllis Docks. Thank and praise God for her for this opportunity, allowing us to share this And if every believer could really see how important it is that the message of the kingdom gets out, and it has to get out not just from our churches, it has to get out from our lives because that's where it's contained. The message of the kingdom has to be released from our lives. We have to be released from the church to share it. It has to be released from our lives that others may be able to experience it. And this is so very, very necessary, people of God, that we understand that. And this is why we're doing this in this way. And like Apostle Grant said, she wanted to give us ample time. But that ample time, like I said, we've been dealing with this for an entire year. So ample time is a far gone conclusion. We will continue to share every time the opportunity presents itself about the kingdom of God. And you know, two things I want to deal with today. One of the things I want to deal with is the seed. And the other thing I want to deal with is the kingdom itself. But the seed as it relates to the kingdom. The passage of scripture that Apostle Gwen read, I'm just going to jump right there to that 30th verse, and I'm going to read that, then we're going to go back up to the 27th verse. But the 30th verse says, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. This is so very, very important, people of God, that we look at where we are in time. The last time we were on Blog Talk Radio, we were dealing somewhat with the image and the fact of the Antichrist and his position in the world and how he is revealing himself. And he's revealing himself in everything. And we dealt with that the last time. Those of you that may not have had an opportunity to hear it, we dealt with that and how that the word Antichrist actually means one who is opposed, one who is adversarial to, or one who seeks to replace the anointing or the anointed ones. This is what's happening today. And because we're at the end of our age, everything has swollen. We're in a swell. The kingdom of darkness is in a swell, and the kingdom of God is in a swell. It's all swollen, ready to be released. We're at the end of the age, and what the enemy is doing, he's releasing darkness and gross darkness over the land and over the people. And our responsibility is to meet that with the power of God, with the kingdom of God, with light. And this is so necessary, people of God, because there's so many things that are taking place in our world today. But what I want to really bring everybody's attention to is the seed. And when I say the seed, I'm not speaking about the seed as we normally hear it relating to finances, and most people don't even really understand the power of the seed as it relates to finances, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about now the seed as it relates to our children and to the generation that we have produced, to the generation that's been released into the world, the generation that's supposed to be carrying our torch. We want to look at that and just look at what is happening. There is a spirit in the world, and that spirit is the spirit of idolatry, and that spirit is also the spirit of rebellion. And the spirit of idolatry and the spirit of rebellion, or the spirit of stubbornness and the spirit of rebellion, represent the spirit of idolatry and witchcraft. The spirit of stubbornness and the spirit of rebellion represent the spirit of idolatry, spirit of witchcraft. And if you notice, you can see this characteristic on our young people today, on the children and on the generation that's out there now. It's gotten to the point where, they even have identified themselves as Generation X. And then there is a generation that has no identification at all. And the reason for that is because they cannot or will not allow themselves to be labeled by what came before them. And the challenge with that entire thing is it's nothing wrong with having a strong disposition about something, and there's nothing wrong with having a radical disposition, because it's time for us to be radical and aggressive. It's time for us to be strong and firm in what it is that we believe. But the problem is when you have a strong disposition, and that strong disposition morphs into stubbornness, and you have a strong radical spirit, but that strong radical spirit morphs into rebellion. When that happens, when your strong disposition becomes a characteristic of stubbornness, and when your radical spirit becomes a characteristic of rebellion, then the spirit of idolatry and the spirit of witchcraft are at work in the minds and hearts of our seed that we've released into the world. One of the major problems with that is that that seed is now the representative or the representation of the fruit. That seed has now become fruit, and that fruit is yielding that which it came from. But it's been changed. It's been changed. It's been demonically modified. I can say it like that, not genetically modified, but it's been demonically modified to represent falseness, to represent idolatry, to represent witchcraft. And that means that these children today in our generation, in the generation that we came up in, it was a little different. I mean, you know, people had conflicts and everything, and you know, we back in my day, you know, we would more likely fight with our fist, or and may the best man win, and then we walk away saying, okay, I won this time, or I lost this time, we'll try it again tomorrow, or when I heal up, we'll try it again next week, or whatever. You know, you have these fights and like that, but then it started changing, and you know, then the gangs began to start shooting and everything, but you know, they were shooting in violence in terms of gangs, but then there was only shooting in violence at the other gangs. Now, in our generation, just to fast forward to where we are now, it doesn't matter who they kill. They're shooting children, little babies, 10-year-old children, children playing on the porch. It doesn't matter. They just want to kill anybody, because that's a spirit that is out there that has bewitched their mind. They have no regard for human life, and they have no regard for order. They believe that they are their own gods, and that they don't have to serve anything other than their own pleasure. They have a spirit of rebellion. They have no respect or regard for authority, or even parental authority, or your elders, or anything like that. All of that is gone in the minds of the majority of our generations today. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it is now time for those of our – and they're throwing babies out the window like crazy. I've never seen anything like it where – Every week, every other day, somebody's throwing a child out of the window saying they don't want it anymore, and they that's just the way what's going on today. It's very terrible what's happening in our day. But the whole essence of it is that it's time for something to take place in our lives as it results to our seed, our children, our children's children, even our grandchildren. We need to give them something that is more powerful than what the enemy is deluding their minds with. We need to give them the right image, the right understanding of what God is really trying to communicate to the entire world. These days, people will say, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with this, or I don't want to have anything to do with the church. But what do they know of the kingdom of God? What is their understanding of the kingdom of God, and is that message of the kingdom being shared repetitively and aggressively? It is our responsibility to make sure that we put the right image and the right information in the minds and hearts of our seed today, of our children today. Our children need something to hold on to that is real, that is firm, that is not fleeting, that is not weak. They need to hold on to the kingdom of God and to know that they are a part of a kingdom. They are the part of a kingdom. The word kingdom means basileia in Greek. They are a part of a royal power. They are part of a royal realm, and this is our mandate to share this, but not just from church to church. It is our mandate to share this with our children and with those of our own communities and all around. That's why we're thankful and grateful that we have this opportunity. And what we want to do is really build up the leaders of our day and place the responsibility on them to let them know you are a part of a kingdom, not just a member of a church. You are a part of a kingdom. And here in we're going to read this, what's going to actually happen and take place in this passage. You can see it is so powerful here. You can see it here let me read it here in the 27th verse. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. This is Psalms 22 and 27 I'm reading. All the ends of the world shall remember and shall turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. This is David here talking, and he is prophesying as the Lord is actually speaking through him. It says, for the kingdom is the Lord's. Right there you have it. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among them. Here in Greek, the word kingdom is basileia. In Hebrew, the word kingdom is meluka, the word meluka. That word meluka means kingdom. Here, it is the same definition as it is in Greek, kingship, royalty, a kingly office, royal realm, a realm that is ruled, a kingdom or a king's royalty. That's what meluka actually means. And it's rooted, the word meluka is rooted in the word malak. The word malak is the Hebrew word for king. And it is the Hebrew word for king or one that ascends the throne, the actual royal foundation of power. So what we see here is that the word kingdom itself is rooted in the word king, which means that the king is the one that brings forth the kingdom. The kingdom is in him. Unless he releases it, no one will know about the kingdom. That kingdom, when that king is born, the kingdom and the responsibility of the kingdom is born in him and with him. And that king holds within himself a royal power, and the foundation of the power of the kingdom rests on him. And that responsibility is transferred to each and every one of us. And it's the same way with basileia. In Greek, the word basileia is, the word kingdom is basileia. The root word for basileia is basileus, which is the king or the royal power or the royal foundation of power through which the kingdom actually comes forth from. And I'm sharing it in this way, as Apostle Gwynn stated earlier, that he has transferred to us the kingdom. He has transferred to us the kingdom. It says that in Luke 22. Jesus said it to his disciples, I am transferring to you, or I am appointing to you a kingdom, just as my Father has appointed it to me, the kingdom. And he was telling them and explaining to them now and telling them what it really means to be a king and the responsibility of being a king and how it is necessary for them to have that responsibility and to be the type of king that he is. Now, there are a lot of people that really don't look at it in this perspective. They don't look at it in this way. Their only regard and understanding of the church is this is the place where I go, and we have a good time. We sing, the preacher preaches, we shout, we dance. We do our thing there, and we're excited, and then we leave, and we go home, and we sit down and do whatever it is that we had planned to do for that day. That's the majority of how things go, and the majority of the understanding about the church is wrapped up in that, but it is way, way more than that. The whole product of salvation, the whole idea of salvation was to bring us into our rightful place as being kings that carry the kingdom of God within us, and release that understanding and that culture of the kingdom to everyone that is not aware of it. That's our responsibility. And that's a strong responsibility, that's a heavy thing that's on us, but that's the way it is. And that has not been disclosed properly. It has not been shared properly. Many of us grew up, we hear about, they preach about the kingdom of God, and they sing about, this is the keys of the kingdom. And they go through all that, but then we don't have any understanding about what the kingdom really is. We really don't have any understanding about that. We knew and we heard about it, but the actual truth about the kingdom had not yet been properly or aggressively proclaimed. It just wasn't there. We knew about that. You need to be saved, and if you're not saved, you're going to hell. That was the strength of it, the gist of it in our day coming up. But we didn't even understand the real true life of Christ. He did not just die for our salvation. He died for us to have the anointing and to have a right to the kingdom. It's very, very different from how it was explained to us earlier in our lives, and now he's bringing forth the fullness of everything he desired for us to know and understand and carry. We have a responsibility to be as he is, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. I want to just point out to you the aspect of the kingdom in Hebrew, the aspect of the kingdom in Greek, that it is the same definition, only it's pronounced differently. Meluka and Basilia, Malak and Basilius, those are the two different pronunciations and the root words for them, to understand what the kingdom really is and what it is that we carry and what's on God's mind when we're dealing with the kingdom or talking about the kingdom. And that same thing should be on our mind. It says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor. He is the one that has complete rule and dominion, and it is his reign. It is his reign. So therefore, since the Lord is the governor of that kingdom, he is the one that has transferred it to us, indicating that even though we have it, it is something that was given to us by someone else. It is someone that has placed us in responsibility, or has given us the responsibility and the accountability of that kingdom. That's our responsibility. It is the Lord's kingdom, but then he has given us the right to it, the privilege of it, the benefits of it, and the accountability and responsibility to share it. It is our responsibility to build up that kingdom and to get the truth out about it. Now it says, he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. In other words, we are all subject to finality. We are all subject to these things, but in the midst of it all, the scripture tells us in another passage, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. It is unavoidable. Regardless of what people think, regardless of what they say, and all the different things that they deal with, and they say, oh, you know, there is no God, or there is a God, but it's this guy over here, and all these kind of things that people do and how they deal with it and how mixed up they are based on all the misinformation given to them by all of these different religions that are being shared out here, and that's one way that the enemy has chosen to confuse people. He's confused so many people with all of these different religions and aspects of religions and all these different denominations and aspects of denominations, and now everybody's carrying their own aspect of what God is and who God is, and God already stated who he was and gave us the responsibility of sharing that truth, but we've gotten away from it and kind of put ourselves in a position to say this is about me and not about him. And as a result of that, you have these different denominations that are formed. And in the forming of these different denominations, you got this guy over here that's saying, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way. Everybody's going to do it their own way. It divides the body of Christ, which makes us all vulnerable to deception and the delusion that has come out in the end of our time, because we're at the end of our world, as it states. We're here at the end of our world, and people are being carried away with so many different winds of doctrines and not dealing with the actual kingdom of God that Jesus told us to declare and to preach. It says here that all that be fat upon the earth, they shall eat and worship, and they shall go down to the dust, those that die, and they will recognize that their soul is finite. And then it says in the 30th verse, as we stated earlier, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Saying right here now that this is the season and time that the seed or the offspring or the remnant be responsible and accountable to the Lord as the generation that will declare him. That includes us because we're still here, but it also includes our seed and our seed's seed and all of us. We have to pass this on. This is our legacy. The kingdom of God is our legacy. We have to pass that on to our children, to our children's children, even though they may not understand it, they may not get it, it might not make sense to them, but it is the responsibility of all of us to share this. It says here, we are a seed, and the seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. We are that generation that is responsible for sharing the kingdom of God and opening it up to the world. They shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. And it is our responsibility, saying right here that we shall come and we shall declare his righteousness to those that are now born in this world, that they would know that the Lord has done this. He has given us this responsibility, and he has accounted to us the responsibility of sharing the kingdom of God. That is so incredibly powerful, people of God, how we have that responsibility, and it is up to us to share it. And I'm going to jump to Matthew real quick, and I'm going to I'm not going to deal with everything there that was read because we don't have as much time as is required to really deal with all of this. But I want you to kind of get an understanding somewhat about what we're talking about and where we're headed with this. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed a good seed in his field. I skipped the first part where it talks about the mysteries of the kingdom. That's okay. We're going to jump down here to the 24th verse. It says, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This is what has happened in our time now, because the kingdom of God came. The kingdom of God is here. When Jesus came, he brought us heaven. He brought heaven here to us and shared it with us. He opened it up to us and told us, here, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Also identified to us that it is the Father's good pleasure to give this kingdom to you. Telling them when they ask, when are you going to come and take over our land and give us back the kingdom? He said, the kingdom is inside of you, indicating to them that if you want the kingdom, it's got to come out of you. But if it's the kingdom of God, then what has to happen is you have to come forth representing the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And here it goes on to say, while men slept, the enemy came. This is what has happened in our time while we were dancing and shouting and eating fried chicken dinners and everything like that and fish dinners on Friday and going through the whole thing. We were actually sleeping. While we were sleeping, the enemy was putting poison among us. He was planting his own seeds so that people would not come up with the understanding of what the kingdom of God really is. He said he planted tares among the wheat. What a tare is, it is something that resembles the wheat. It looks just like a wheat, only it is black, but is directly tied to the wheat, so you can't hardly really tell the difference. And if you try to separate it improperly, you can damage both the wheat and the tare. So Jesus said, no, let them all grow together, because at the end of time, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to send the proper people out there, and they're going to help to divide the confusion or to divide the, and reveal the difference between the tare and the wheat. One thing about the tare, it is black. The wheat is not. It is green and productive, or it develops into a brown, productive, flowing food full of substance. But the tare is black. It remains black, and it has no substance in it. It is very light. It has no weight. And when they are separated, the tare will blow off with the wind and go into the fire to be burned, but not the wheat. The wheat has substance to it, so it falls to the ground, and it is there to be used for its purpose. This is what is taking place in our way, in our day today, and it is what we have the responsibility of, identifying the kingdom of God and revealing the things about the kingdom that have not been revealed, showing forth the substance of the kingdom. We're not just somebody here just to go back and forth to church. Mm-mm. We're somebody here that is to bring deliverance to the people of God. Jesus said, "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." That gospel that he was talking about was the same gospel he talked about here, the same gospel he told his disciples to go ye into all the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, setting the captive free, opening the eyes of the blind. And the word eyes there actually means mind. Opening the minds of those people that are blind to the truth about the kingdom of God and what they're in store for. And it is not to be confused with how it is going back and forth to church, because as much as that is necessary, it is necessary when you go there and you get the right information to take with you when you leave there and make a difference in the lives that you come in contact with, because all of us have a responsibility when we leave there to take what we've gotten and share it with somebody else to change lives. That ought to be our focus. Whose life can I brighten up today? Whose heart can I encourage today? Who needs to be delivered today? And it is so powerful and so necessary. We have to really understand that, and this is what God is sharing with us here. It says, while men slept, the enemy of the kingdom of God sowed these tares and corrupted the whole aspect of what God was trying to do by planting the seed of the kingdom in the first place. It says, but when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares, and this is why you have so much confusion in the church, and so many people separating themselves from each other. No love, no understanding, no real true anointing, no ministry of confusion and misunderstanding about the anointing itself, which is the driving force of the kingdom. They miss all of that. They're not really getting the wholeness of it, and we have made it our business and mission. The Lord has unctioned us and mandated us, rather, to share the truth about the kingdom of God. It says, so the servants went on their way in their household and came, and then it says in the 27th verse unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in the field? From whence then hath it tares? So say, I know you did the right thing, Jesus. You did the right thing. You shared with us the right thing. You planted the right seed. Why is it that this fruit is coming up so sour and crazy? And he said, it's not that. It's the fact that the enemy came and planted some bad seeds among the good seeds, and this is why you have all this hypocrisy going on. The word that tare actually represents hypocritical people that have no substance, no real true word, no real true power, no real true anointing. They're going forth with a form and a fashion, trying to be like the next guy, trying to preach as good as him, trying to shout as loud as him, trying to as greatly and dynamically as him. And it's not about that. It's about actually reflecting and identifying the kingdom of God and the glory of that kingdom. And one thing people don't understand is that when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, you're dealing with an actual realm. An actual realm, and in that realm, there is a royal family within that kingdom, and that royal family is responsible for sharing the truth of the kingdom and who they are. That kingdom has a glory. There is the glory of that kingdom. There is the glory of that kingdom. There is the honor of the king of that kingdom, and then there is a culture and image of heaven that is identified within that kingdom. And when you identify the culture of that kingdom, when somebody has a culture, every nation, kingdom, they all have their own culture. In that, within that culture, you can see that there is their nationality is wrapped up in their culture, or their culture identifies their nationality and where they're actually from. It shows and reveals their language. It shows and reveals their appetite, what they're hungry for, what their taste is for, how they cook, what they like to eat, how they dance, what they do, their character, their way. That is reflected to identify the culture of the kingdom. So then it's one. In Africa or in Jamaica or in Haiti or in China or wherever these different countries are, they have a culture, and it is identified by their language, by the foods that they eat, by the dances that they dance, the songs that they sing, the way that they speak, their characteristics, what they mean, how they live their lives. It's all within that culture. It's not a religion. It is not a religion. It is a culture. There is a difference. It is the way of life, not just how they go back and forth to church. It is not a religion. It is a culture of heaven. It is how it is in heaven, the way we speak, the way we talk, what we do, what we have an appetite for, those things that we search out and seek out, those things that we desire, that is from the culture of heaven, and this is how we are to depict and display the kingdom of God, and it's so necessary that we get on board and share the culture of heaven with our children. Let them know it's not just this church that we're going to. You are a part of something greater, something bigger, and there is a king inside of you that is longing to come out and to come forth. And this is what we need to share with every unbeliever and every non-believer. Those two different things. Some people have backed away from the truth. Some people never knew it. You have an unbeliever that's backed away from the truth, and you have a non-believer that was never exposed to it. It is our responsibility to share the kingdom of God with everyone that needs to hear it, and even among our own brethren who are unaware of it. And this is why we have to ignite this truth in the hearts and minds of everybody, so that God can place his throne in our mind and his feet in our heart and guide and direct our lives every single day with his authority, with his desire, and with what he has an appetite for. It's time to celebrate him, because he is celebrating us as we come back to him and come back to his kingdom and come back to the understanding of what Jesus actually died for. And rose again to confirm. He died for it, but then he rose again to confirm that the truth of it will begin to manifest. He stood behind his word, and we need to stand behind his word as well. I'm thankful and grateful for this, and we've come to the close of our session. We don't have as much time as we would like, and as it relates to me, I never have as much time as I would like. I can go on and on and on and on, sharing the truth of God's kingdom, sharing the truth of God's word, and there's so much more here to deal with and so much more here to share. But I wanted to make sure that I identified that the seed is in trouble, and we need to give what is necessary, the necessary attention, the necessary watering, the necessary cultivating, the necessary attention to the seed that is now being produced in our generation, so that we can make sure that it will bring forth the fruit of the kingdom of God and not the fruit of the kingdom of darkness, because they are being infected. It's a virus out here, and you carry the solution. You carry the antidote in your mouth, and it's time for us to release it and change lives everywhere. I thank God for all of you all. And Apostle Green, if you are still there, are you here? Can you hear us, Apostle Green? We're going to turn it over to you. But before we do that, we'd just like to say a word of prayer for all of you all that are listening. And there may be somebody listening to our broadcast now that is not aware of what Christ died for, that is not aware of what he rose to confirm and to protect. You may not be aware of it, but there has been a whole new thing that is happening, that has happened for us. Regardless of how sinful you've been, regardless of how much wrong you've done, there has been blood shed for you. Regardless of how misunderstood you may have been, or how you misunderstood everything else, you lived your life according to what pleases you. it is important for you out there to understand that God has given to you the opportunity of a kingdom that is the culture of heaven, a kingdom that is his royalty and his majesty. And you are more than who you think, and you're more than who people think. You're not just the person that that gangbanger says you're gonna, that says that you are. You're not just the person that maybe the government or your job or whoever. You're not just those individuals that are condescending to you or putting you down or trying to enslave you. You are a part of heaven. Christ died to include you in that culture. He died to include you into the kingdom, and his blood even now still prevails. And we're going to pray for each and every one of you all, and I'm telling you, the only thing you have to do is accept what he has already done, and your life will be changed. You don't have to do it again. He already did it. The only thing you have to do is accept what he has done, and the change begins at that point. You enter at that point into the kingdom of God, and you are born again, and you start out as a brand new baby. Babies don't come out the womb talking and walking and everything. They come out the womb just desiring to be fed, and then you will grow into the man of God or the woman of God that you were created to be. Father God, we thank you right now for each and every one that's listening today. We thank you right now for those, oh God, that may not know you as their Savior. They may not be aware that you have already forgiven them of their sins. You have already shed your blood that they will be saved. You've already done that. You've already finished the work that will bring men back to you. You've already done that, Father. And we pray, oh God, that as they are listening right now, that they would hear the word that is coming to them, that they would know of your love, that they would be convinced and convicted by your spirit to know that you do love them in spite of their mistakes, in spite of their wrongs. So you died for them even while they were not worthy, to make them worthy to be a part of your family. And we thank you right now, God, that as they hear our voice, that they will begin to surrender to you, oh God, and turn their hearts to you and say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know who I need to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, but here I am, Lord. Take me. I am yours. And Father God, as they surrender their hearts to you, we pray right now that their hearts will be changed to love you, that you would give them a heart of love, that you would give them a mind of understanding, that they would become enlightened. We bind the attack of the enemy that would bring delusion and deception to their minds, making them think that they have no hope, making them think that they will not be forgiven, for you have already forgiven them, oh God. And we thank you right now that according to their belief, oh God, according to their acceptance that you died for them and rose again for their deliverance and salvation, according to their acceptance of this truth, God, they are now a part of your family. They are now a part of your kingdom. And God, let that kingdom and the understanding of your kingdom become manifest to them. Let the king inside of them begin to come forth and grow and grow and grow and identify your kingdom, that it is wherever they are. And we love you today, God, and we give you the glory, the honor, the praise, and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And for all those that are hearing today, there will be an igniting, oh God, of your power and your anointing in them to declare your kingdom and to speak your truth to all that would hear them. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that are accepting you as their Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Apostle Gwen.
Please call 661-449-9911.